62. Chaplain Stark. The apostle has reference to the then prevailing custom, according to which the candidate was entirely immersed in water, and after he had been left under a little while, was again taken up out of it. Baptism, consequently, does not only contain the image and power of the death of Christ, but of his burial, so that as the Lord, by his burial, has done away with the curse that lay upon him, we also might be partakers of his burial when we were laid down under the water as in a grave and covered with it. Wilberg, page 113. 63. Locke. We did own some kind of a death by being buried under the water. Even so we, being raised from our typical death and burial in baptism, should lead a new sort of life. Campbell and Rice, page 235. 64. Dr. G. C. Knapp. The image is here taken from baptized persons as they are immerged, buried, and as they emerged, rose again. So it was understood by Chrysostom. Theology, Volume 2, page 535. 65. McKnight. In baptism, the baptized person is buried under water as one put to death with Christ on account of his sin, in order that they may be strongly impressed with a sense of the malignity of sin and excited to hate it as the greatest of evils. On the Epistles, Volume 1, page 259. Christ submitted to be baptized, that is, to be buried under the water by John, and to be raised out of it again as an emblem of his future death and resurrection. In like manner, the baptism of believers is emblematical of his own death, burial, and resurrection. On Romans 6, verse 4. 66. John Wesley. Buried with him, alluding to the ancient manner of baptizing by immersion. Notes on Romans 6, 4, Colossians 2, 12. 67. George Whitefield. It is certain that, in the words of our text, Romans 6 and verse 4, there is an allusion to the manner of baptizing which was immersion. Pengelly, page 47. 68. Dr. Wall. St. Paul does twice, in an allusive way of speaking, call baptism a burial. Defense of the History of Infant Baptism, page 131. 68. Archbishop Tillotson. Anciently, those who were baptized were immersed and buried in the water to represent their death to sin, and then did rise up out of the water to signify their entrance upon the new life. And to these customs the apostle alludes in Romans 6 and verse 4. Pengelly, page 46. 69. Archbishop Seeker. Burying, as it were, the person in the water and raising him out again without question was anciently the more usual method, on account of which St. Paul speaks of baptism as representing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and what is grounded on them, our being dead and buried to sin, and our rising again to walk in newness of life. Pengelly, page 46. 70. Samuel Clark. We are buried with Christ by baptism, etc. In the primitive times, the manner of baptizing was immersion, or dipping the whole body into water. And this manner of doing it was a very significant emblem of the dying and rising again referred to by St. Paul in the above-mentioned similitude. Ibid, Pengelly, page 46. 71. Burkitt's Notes on the New Testament. On Romans 6, 4, the apostle alludes, no doubt, to the ancient manner and way of baptizing persons in those hot countries, which was by immersion or by putting them under the water for a time and raising them up again out of the water, which rite had also a mystical signification representing the burial of our old man, sin, in us, and our resurrection to newness of life. 72. Olhausen's Commentary on Romans 6 and verse 4. In this passage we are by no means to refer the baptism merely to their own resolutions, or see in it merely a figure in which the one half of the ancient baptismal rite, the submersion merely, prefigures the death, burial, and resurrection of the old man, the second half, the immersion, the resurrection of the new man. 73. Koenig-Bäranhausen's Life and Epistles of St. Paul. Baptism was immersion. The convert, being plunged beneath the surface of the water to represent his death to sin, and then raised from this momentary burial to represent his resurrection to a life of righteousness. Also, on Romans 6 and verse 4, this passage cannot be understood unless it is borne in mind that the primitive baptism was by immersion. 74. Dr. Hammond on Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It is a thing that every Christian knows, that the immersion in baptism refers to the death of Christ. The putting of the person into the water denotes and proclaims the death and burial of Christ. Haynes's last reply to Cook and Town, page 107. 75. Bishop Hoadley. If baptism had been then performed as it is now among us, we should never so much as heard of this form of expression of dying and rising again in this rite. Ibid, that is, Haynes's last reply to Cook and Town, page 107. 76. Dr. Storr and Flatt's Biblical Theology, Andover, 1826. The disciples of our Lord could understand his command in no other manner than as enjoining immersion, and that they actually did understand it so is proved partly by those passages of Scripture which evidently allude to immersion, Acts 8 and verse 36, Romans 6 and verse 4, Ut Supra. 77. Martin Luther. Baptism is a sign of both death and resurrection. Being moved by this reason, I would have those who are to be baptized to be altogether dipped into the water, as the word doth express and the mystery doth signify. Ut Supra, pages 109 and 110. 78. Dr. R. Newton on Romans 6 and verse 4. Baptism was universally performed by immersion or dipping the whole body under the water to represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ together. Slack's Reasons for Becoming a Baptist, page 56. 79. Richard Baxter. It is commonly confessed by us of the Anabaptists, as our commentators declare, that in the apostles' times the baptized were dipped overhead in the water, and that this signified their profession both of the believing the burial and resurrection of Christ, and of their own present renouncing of the world and flesh, and of dying to sin and living to Christ, or rising again to newness of life, or being buried and risen again with Christ, as the apostle expoundeth in the four-cited texts. Westlake, chapter 5. 80. Bishop Smith. Buried in baptism. All continue to render the fact as early ascertained far more reconcilable with Scripture than any contrary theory can be. If any one practice of the early churches is clearly ascertained, it is immersion. Bliss's Letters, page 24. 81. Westminster Assembly of Divines. Annotations on Romans 6, verse 4. Buried with him in baptism. In this phrase, the apostle seemeth to allude to the ancient manner of baptism, which was to dip the parties baptized and, as it were, bury them under water. Judson, page 24. 82. William Tyndale. The plunging into the water signified that we die and are buried with Christ as concerning the old life of sin which is in Adam, and the pulling out again signifieth that we rise again with Christ in a new life. Westlake, page 5. 83. Dr. Chalmers on Romans 6 and verse 4. In the act of descending under the water of baptism to have resigned an old life, and in the act of ascending to emerge into a second or new life, along the course of which it is our part to maintain a strenuous avoidance of sin. 84. Grotius. Buried with him in baptism. Not only the word baptism, but the very form of it intimates this. For an immersion of the whole body in water, so that it is no longer beheld, bears an image of that burial which is given to the dead. So Colossians 2 and verse 12. There was in baptism, as administered in former times, an image both of a burial and of a resurrection, which in respect of Christ was external, in regard to Christians, internal. Romans 6 and verse 4. Booth on Pedobaptism, abridged by Bryant, page 52. 85. Church of England. As we be buried with Christ by our baptism into death, so let us daily die to sin, mortifying and killing the evil motions thereof. And as Christ was raised up from death by the glory of the Father, so let us rise to a new life and walk continuously therein. Homily on the Resurrection, Booth, pages 52 and 53. 86. Wolfius. Immersion into water in former times and a short continuance under the water, practiced by the ancient church, afford the representation of a burial in baptism. Curae ad Roman 6:4. 87. Bishop Pierce. It seems to have been a metaphor taken from the custom of those days in baptizing. For the person baptized went down under the water and was, as it were, buried under it. Hence St. Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 4 and Colossians 2 and verse 12 that they were buried with Christ by baptism. Ibid, page 68. 88 and 89. Bishop Sherlock and Bishop Warburton are cited to the same effect in Bloomfield on Romans 6 and verse 4. And still others might be given, but surely the reader is ready to say with us, these are enough. This list is mostly made up of those who practiced sprinkling and pouring, and surely were not influenced by any disposition to favor immersion, but when sprinkling, as scholars and critics were compelled to testify to the truth, whether for or against their practice. The reader will please observe that some of them lived early in the second century, and we have taken some from every period in the history of the church from then until now, thus showing that almost with one voice, the learned of all ages and countries testifies that this passage refers to the ancient custom of baptizing by immersion. Surely, nothing but a cause reduced to desperation would demand of its advocates a departure from a meaning so plainly taught by all these authorities floating, as it were, upon the very surface of this passage. Baptism, a washing. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, verse 22. That the apostle alludes to baptism is very generally admitted. He had been reasoning on the subject of the Jewish priesthood and the process of consecration connected with it, a partial account of which we have as follows. Thus shalt Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh, and so put them on. Leviticus 16, verses 3 and 4. Under the Christian dispensation, every Christian is regarded as a priest. Speaking of his brethren, Peter said, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Again, verse 9, he says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." As Christians are priests, we see a peculiar fitness in Paul's allusion to the washing of a Jewish priest in the ceremony of his consecration, illustrative of the washing of a Christian in the ceremony of his consecration. That it did not consist in the application of a small quantity of water to the face may be seen in the fact that the same general term flesh is used to indicate the extent of the washing, that is used to indicate the parts on which the priestly garments were worn. That the Jews understood the phrase wash the flesh in the sense of bathing the whole body may be seen in the washing of Naaman. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. 2 Kings 5, verses 10 through 14. Here we see that Naaman was commanded to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan, and, guided by those who are presumed to have understood what was meant, he dipped himself. That he correctly obeyed the command is evident from the fact that he dipped himself according to the saying of the man of God, and God recognized his act by curing him of his leprosy. This case throws a flood of light upon all the Jewish washings and clearly shows what they did when they washed themselves, or anything else in accordance with their law. The word dipped, which expresses the act performed by Naaman, is from the Hebrew word taval, which the 70 Jews who translated the Hebrew scriptures into Greek rendered baptizo, the very word which the Lord subsequently employed to indicate baptism. Then, as King James translators gave us dip as the English equivalent of taval, and the Jewish translators gave us baptizo as its Greek representative, it follows that in the judgment of the 70 scholars who made the Septuagint and the 47 scholars who made the Common Version, baptizo in Greek and dip in English are synonymous. And since things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other, it follows that baptizo in Greek and dip in English, being equal to taval in Hebrew, are equal to each other. Hence, dip is demonstrably the proper translation of baptizo.